Michael Hunter was very fortunate to get a 10-round split decision draw here against Jerry Forrest. This fight was actually a rematch. Their first fight was way back in 2014 in Hunter's fifth professional bout. Jerry Forrest at the time was 7-1. And according to the judges' scorecards, Hunter won their first bout pretty comfortably. That might have, and I say might, have contributed to Hunter's attitude in their rematch. Perhaps because the first fight was relatively comfortable for him, he thought the rematch would be at least as comfortable, if not more so. Bear in mind, Michael Hunter has fought the likes of Oleksandr Usyk, Alexander Povetkin, Sergey Kuzmin, Martin Bacoli, etc. since then. Whereas Jerry Forrest has lost to a bunch of people. So again, perhaps Michael Hunter was thinking this time would be easier than last time and that he had improved more than Forrest. Now, in terms of the way the fight went, I had it even through the first six, although there were two swing rounds in the first six rounds, which could have gone either way. I personally gave one of those swing rounds to Michael Hunter and the other one of the swing rounds to Jerry Forrest. So I had it even after six. The seventh round was close. Again, maybe a swing round, but the eighth, ninth, and tenth, I gave a clean sweep to Jerry Forrest. So I had Jerry Forrest winning this fight, but Michael Hunter escapes with a draw. This was well below what Michael Hunter is capable of. I know some people are going to jump on this and say, that's Michael Hunter's level. He's overrated. You've been overrating him, Hatman. He's not as good as you've been saying he is. This is what Michael Hunter is really all about, the Jerry Forrest fight. Well, I would say that Michael Hunter performed a lot better against Alexander Povetkin than he did against Jerry Forrest. I would say he performed a lot better against Sergey Kuzmin than he did against Jerry Forrest. I would say he performed a lot better against Martin Bacoli than he did against Jerry Forrest, and even back down at cruiserweight against Oleksandr Usyk. So if you are trying to tell me that Michael Hunter can't perform any better than he did here against Jerry Forrest, then I would ask you what happened in all the fights I've just mentioned. Now, of course, he didn't win all those fights. He lost to Usyk and he drew with Alexander Povetkin, but he did beat Sergey Kuzmin. He did beat Martin Bacoli. He was more motivated for those fights. He was sharper for those fights. He was just better all round. And again, against Jerry Forrest, he's going in against the guy who he'd previously beaten. He can perform better than this, and he has performed better than this in the past. For example, would Jerry Forrest beat Martin Bacoli? Would Jerry Forrest beat Sergey Kuzmin? I personally wouldn't be picking him against either of those men, but hey, maybe you guys feel different. In terms of Michael Hunter's stock, because I've seen some people saying Hunter's stock has dropped here, he is, you know, not the fighter that some people were saying he is, and therefore this is really going to hurt his career, and it's all downhill. Well, I actually think that this is the best thing that could have happened to Michael Hunter at this stage. Oh yeah, and I'm not saying this in a reactionary fashion, because if you go back and watch some of my videos that I've made about Michael Hunter and Oleksandr Usyk over the past few years, I've been saying that both these guys are going to turn over some of the big names in the heavyweight division. But in order to do so, they're going to need the element of surprise. And therefore, if they're steamrolling their way through their opponents, looking impressive against everybody, how are they possibly going to cause an upset? Upsets happen when one guy is heavily favored over the other. When one guy is seen as elite, very impressive, and the other guy is like, either not that talented or very inconsistent. And I would say that Michael Hunter fits into the latter category. I would say he's a talented fighter, but he's inconsistent. And the inconsistency is what will lead him to scoring an upset. With Usyk, it's a similar story because he didn't look particularly impressive against Chad Witherspoon, did he? People were ready to write him off even then. And I was saying, no. You don't realize that when he fights the likes of an AJ or a Tyson Fury, he's going to perform a lot better than he did here against Chad Witherspoon. That's what I was saying at the time. Same situation when he fought Chisora. People saying, oh my gosh, if he can't deal with Chisora, how on earth is he going to deal with Anthony Joshua? Joshua's going to take him out in seven. And I was pointing out, styles make fights. AJ don't fight like Chisora. He's not hyper-aggressive like that. He's not a short ball of a man who's going to come flying in at Oleksandr Usyk. It's a totally different style for Usyk to have to deal with. And I said then that this Chisora performance for Alexander Usyk will probably play in his favor, because it's going to cause AJ and the fans to let their guard down somewhat and not really expect too much from Usyk. And that's when upsets can happen, when the fans and the fighter themselves don't expect too much from the opponent. Same situation here with Michael Hunter. People are not going to expect much out of him. And if they're not going to expect much out of him, not just the fans, but also the potential rivals, the opponents, the TV companies, the promoters, then he's actually more likely to get a voluntary shot at somebody. Yeah, because when you've got a guy who's looking impressive and dangerous and skillful, well, nobody's going to give him a voluntary shot. They give voluntary shots to people who look vulnerable, who are inconsistent, who they don't think are a massive threat. And look, I'm not saying that Michael Hunter deliberately underperformed here, not at all. I'm just saying that the fact that he underperformed is going to play in his favor just the same way that, and I don't think that Usyk necessarily underperformed against Chisora either, but however you want to describe that performance, it played in Usyk's favor. Now, for Michael Hunter, you also have to factor in his attitude, because he's been getting bougie, ever since Triller came in with their money. And by the way, Triller is not for everybody. A lot of people don't like them. Personally, I think they're a welcome addition to boxing. I like the, not these particular commentators they had for Michael Hunter versus Jerry Forrest, but in general, their commentary of all the swearing and the banter and all that kind of stuff, I think that's good, because that's a reflection of the audience. When most people are sitting around watching boxing, certainly it's the case for me, I'm not saying, oh, jolly good show, excellent, oh, no. I'm effing and blinding all over the place when I'm watching a boxing match. I only keep it PC and PG here for YouTube, all right? But in real life, when I'm watching a boxing match, I'm swearing all over the place. So the commentators being let off the leash like that is a more accurate reflection of what the audience are like. This overly sanitized version of boxing is not personally my cup of tea. I like boxing commentary to have a bit of edge to it. And I'm not saying that every channel needs to be doing that. Not at all. I think there is a place for more polished or more professional sounding commentary. But I think it's good that there are options out there and there are some networks where it's a bit more edgy. I like that. Anyway, back to Michael Hunter. Ever since Triller started waving his money around, Michael Hunter got bougie. He didn't want to go through with the Filip Hrgović fight. Didn't think that that fight was financially viable for him. Wasn't getting offered enough money. So he took some easier fights on Triller, apparently for a lot more money. Well, with a performance like this against Jerry Forrest, perhaps those checks from Triller are not going to be quite so fat. And when Michael Hunter is starved of a bit of money, perhaps he'll be forced to up his game and start putting in the kind of performances we saw when he beat the likes of Martin Bacoli, for example. Perhaps he'll be forced to say, you know what? Let me re-look. Let me have another look at the Filip Hrgović fight for the IBF Eliminator or something similar to that. He may be forced into a position where he has to train a lot harder than he did here and take risks. So again, I'm not trying to box food out of nobody's mouth here. I'm just speaking from the perspective of a fan, a boxing fan. I want to see these fighters, all fighters, fight to the best of their ability. And in the case of Michael Hunter, his best performances have come when he's been hungry, when he hasn't been getting paid a lot of money, when he has been kind of overlooked by opponents. Certainly that was the case against Martin Bacoli. He tends to perform better as the underdog, as the outsider. And so as far as I can see, that's the position he needs to be in. Once you put him in the position as the A-side, I think we've seen here against Jerry Forrest what we're going to get out of Michael Hunter when he's the A-side. We're not going to get the best of him. He needs to be the B-side. You know, it is what it is. So far from being dismissive or changing my mind about Michael Hunter now because of this poor performance, I'm even more bullish than ever because of the fact that people are never going to see him coming. That's my take on it. Let me know your take in the comments below. Upsets happen when people least expect. They happen because fighters are written off. Talented fighters are written off because they're inconsistent. And in other cases, it's fighters who are not particularly talented, but they are consistent. And Hunter, I would say, fits into the first category. Like Buster Douglas, for example. Buster Douglas was a talented fighter. He just wasn't consistent at all. Terrible consistency from Buster Douglas. He would pull out a good performance, which really did his ability justice once in a blue moon. That's what Buster Douglas would do. For the most part, he was fighting well within himself and underperforming. And that was obviously due to his mentality. Buster Douglas was never the most fiery character. That's why the Mike Tyson performance was so uncharacteristic and surprising. Because you didn't normally see that level of fire and confidence from Buster Douglas, particularly at that level, fighting somebody as ferocious as Mike Tyson. Say what you want about Mike Tyson not being at his best for that fight. I'm talking about Buster Douglas's mentality. In Buster Douglas's mind, he was fighting a prime Tyson going into that fight. That's who he was preparing for. That's who he was expecting. So for him to have that level of confidence, that level of ferocity, was very unusual because of his inconsistency in the past. So again, that's an example of an inconsistent fighter going in against a heavily favored champion and pulling off the upset. Michael Hunter, inconsistent. He's a different fighter than Buster Douglas, of course. He's talented, yes. He appears to be more durable than Buster Douglas and have more heart than Buster Douglas, but he comes in looking a bit fleshy. I know he's been around this weight before. He was 222 against Forrest. He was 217 against Wilson. 224 prior to that. 226 against Povetkin. He does tend to look a bit fleshy these days in the low 220s. I'd like to see Michael Hunter around the weight he was against Martin Bukauli. 213. That's probably not far off. Actually, no. Let me not say that's not far off what he was weighing at cruiserweight, because when he fought Alexander Usyk at cruiserweight, I think he might have actually had a six-pack for that fight, and I don't think he was close to having a six-pack for the Martin Bukauli bout. But I'd like to see him around 213, 215 if he's going to be, you know, fighting any of the top guys, or just moving forward in general. I'd like to see him certainly no more than 217. I think in the low 220s is too heavy for Michael Hunter. He loses some speed and mobility and sharpness and what have you. So, yeah, that's my take on it. Michael Hunter, Jerry Forrest. I had Jerry Forrest winning. I thought it was very fortunate, to say the least, for Michael Hunter to get a draw here. Let me know what you guys thought in the comments below. Disappointing. Tommy Fury has pulled out of the Jake Paul fight. He was set to make millions here against Jake Paul, and instead, Jake Paul's previous opponent, Tyron Woodley, will step in at short notice to fill Tommy Fury's boots. Now, apparently there was some type of broken rib or chest infection. This is what the Fury team is saying. It would have to be really severe, in all reality, in all truth, to justify pulling out at this stage. Because, again, Tommy Fury has been talking about the fact that he has been around boxing his whole life, that he is a real boxer, whereas Jake Paul is just a YouTuber. His brother Tyson, his dad John, have been saying that this is a foregone conclusion, basically. Particularly John. This is a foregone conclusion, and that anyone who picks Jake Paul to win the fight is obviously a Fury hater and has some type of agenda. He's been scathing in the stuff that he said about some of these boxers who have been picking Jake Paul to beat Tommy Fury. So if you've got that level of confidence, if you think it's that much of a mismatch, then there better be some really severe injury. If it's only, remember, this is not an arm injury. This is a rib injury, apparently. It better be really severe for you to pull out of this bout if you think the levels between Tommy and Jake are, you know, the gap is so huge. So I don't know. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. Do you think the injury was that bad? Or do you think that there might be another reason why Tommy Fury has decided to withdraw here? Now, in the build-up to this, I saw several interviews with John Fury, with Tyson Fury, and with Tommy himself. And they constantly were talking about Tommy being the better boxer here, the more talented, and that as long as he is able to handle the occasion, then he'll win the fight easy. But they kept adding that caveat time and time again. As long as he can handle the occasion, as long as he performs to the best of his ability. When it's Tyson Fury, when it's a tried and tested fighter with lots of experience, they don't feel the need to constantly add that caveat. But with Tommy, they did. With Tommy, from what I saw and my interpretation of what I was hearing, they weren't 100% confident that Tommy could handle the stage in the event. He didn't perform particularly well last time out. Yeah, he won, but it wasn't especially impressive. And Some of them may have been thinking, and when I say some of them, I'm talking about people within the Tommy Fury team, his dad, his brother, etc. They might have been thinking that there's a chance here that Tommy could freeze on the big stage. There's a chance here that, you know, Tommy might not be able to deal with the nerves and all that kind of thing, as well as Jake Paul, because Jake Paul's seen it and done it all before. So even though Jake Paul doesn't have a lot of boxing experience, didn't have any, well, he had that one fight against KSI's brother, isn't it? And I guess you would call that an amateur bout because they had headgear on and stuff like that. But anyway, he hasn't been around boxing all his life like Tommy Fury, but he has been a celebrity for longer than Tommy Fury has. And he's fought in front of bigger crowds in bigger events than Tommy Fury so far. So that may count for something psychologically in terms of being able to deal with the occasion. So that, if the injury story isn't legit, that would be my best guess in terms of why they may have withdrawn from the bout. Other people are talking about the VADA testing issue because apparently there's no VADA testing, or Jake Paul refused VADA testing. So perhaps the Furies thought, you know what? We're not going to go for this. But again, that's a sign that they're not as confident as they make themselves out to be. Because if the levels between Tommy Fury and Jake Paul are so far apart, then you wouldn't worry that much about VADA testing. Do you know what I mean? So you guys let me know what you think in the comments below. Now, with all that being said, I'm covering all possibilities here. It's perfectly possible that the rib injury story is perfectly legit, that he has got some kind of infection from the rib injury and, you know, maybe it's really painful and he can't throw his punches properly. That's perfectly plausible as well. So I'm not claiming to know the absolute truth here. I'm not an insider in either camp. I'm just putting all the possibilities out on the table, all the stuff that people are saying online. I'll let you guys make your own minds up about it. So for me personally, I'm very disappointed because I was looking forward to this fight. Part of me does wonder about whether the occasion might have been a bit too big for Tommy Fury. But again, I don't know. Jake Paul has made several videos now where he's spoken about the fact that he's fought injured before. And so he can't understand why Tommy Fury, who's supposed to be much better than him, can't fight injured as well. Whatever the case may be, for Tyron Woodley to step in at the last minute is a good look, because the first fight against Jake Paul was competitive. Jake Paul was hurt in the fight. And so Tyron Woodley will be looking to do a better job this time around. Hopefully we get an entertaining one that can somewhat compensate for Tommy Fury pulling out. Anyway, let me know how you guys feel in the comments below.